Oh, what a master's hand. He didn't come looking for the perfect ones. He didn't come looking for those that had it all figured out. In one place, he sat down in the sinner's house and he said, those that were whole don't need a physician. But he came to heal. He came to repair. He came to renew and restore those that recognize their need before him. There's a scripture that tells us to keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And there's another part of the scripture that talks about the different powers that exist. And it tells us that the greatest power is love. It's the greatest motivation. You can motivate folks by fear. You can motivate them by anger. You can a lot of different emotions that can drive people. But love is something that has an abiding power. It's something that has an ability to move and to continue to drive and to continue to affect our lives, either negatively or positively. It's an emotion and a power that has an effect and can change a life for good or for bad. So when he said to keep the heart with all diligence, it was because when our affections and the things that we care about don't stay centered in the place that they should be, it's a great motivating power that can take us from where we should be. I've always heard it about love as a motivator to serve God, and it is the greatest motivator. But it's also one of the things that draws folks away from the Lord the quickest, and it's something that you can't just correct. It's not something that you can just take a mind over matter, something that you can just put your hand to and fix. It's something that requires a touch of the Master. And I appreciate how God recognizes and realizes He doesn't expect us to correct our own mistakes. He doesn't expect us to be able to just lift ourselves by our own bootstraps. He doesn't expect us to be able to just go somewhere in a corner and help ourselves out of the places that we find ourselves in. But because of His love for us, He extends a hand to correct, to renew, to take the emotions that you and I can't control, the things that have a hold on you tonight, and He's able to take those on to Himself. I would like to read in Psalms in the 50th chapter, or 51st chapter, David poured his heart out before God in this psalm. Yes, he recognized his need. He recognized the place that he was in. And this chapter speaks to us tonight of the place that man can get himself in. There are all sorts of things that you can allow into your heart. There are different things that may take time. You think about the scripture that talks about line upon line and precept upon precept. And that scripture speaks about the truth that is built in our heart over time and the understanding and how the Lord builds on things over time and teaches us and directs us. The enemy doesn't come in a moment and in a time to destroy that in just in one day. But he draws on those things and tears them down line by line and precept by precept. And the way he does that is not always appealing to our logic, but usually appealing to our emotions and the things that we care about. To draw us away and to allow our sight and the things that we look upon to change and to not to be the things that God wants in our life. He has an ordained way for us. He has a promised way for us. He has a direction that he wants us to walk in. He has a way that he wants our affections to be set. And the enemy's plan is to draw those affections and to draw our heart after the things that will distract and dissuade, that will undermine the things that God wants to do in our life and in the places where he would have us. It's not in just a moment. Families don't fall in a moment. Lives don't become destroyed in a moment. Testimonies aren't lost in a moment. It's over time, day by day, as our affections are drawn after the things that God wouldn't have in our life. And the things that we begin to allow to creep in and to take root. Do you know there's a reason why when people look for the happiness and the joy in life, that they find something that appeals to them? There is something within us that will draw after. The scripture says a man is drawn away of his own lust when he is enticed. There's something in man that draws after. And the enemy appeals and draws after that. He attempts to draw and draws our emotions to become set on something. But you know, after a while, the bitterness of that begins to set in. After a while, in the scripture, it tells us it turns to gravel in the mouth. The heartache and the pain of that thing comes back to rest where it started from. Oh, the feeling may feel good for a moment. The affection may feel fulfilled in a moment. But the end is not what you're looking for. The end is something that is hard and bitter and far from God. In one scripture, it talks about girding up the loins of our mind. Why is it that I must keep my mind and my heart in subjection? Why is it that I must keep my affections and the things that I look after in a place that God would have it, that I stay centered in the place where He would have us? Because over time, those affections grow and they grow. One minister said something in this meeting about big fires start with small fires. And the affections and the things that will break your heart and draw you from God start as just small fires. They start as small affections and small allurements and things that may feel good for a moment and for a passing of time, but soon they grow to an inferno that will destroy you and draw you from the place where God has established for you to rest. Oh, I think of David in this place. Here in the 51st chapter, in the first verse, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Oh, drawn away with something that pulled on him. Oh, have you been in that place where you find yourself and you're not even sure how you got there, and folks may not even understand what it is that furrows your brow, or the pain or the heartache that you feel inside? Many times people don't even recognize and understand. You know that many people that commit suicide, many times their family members don't even realize or recognize the place that they're in before it happens. But the pain that is inside is real and it's deep. And it comes at the nighttime, it comes in the times of quiet, and it gnaws and it aches. And many times people think the only escape is to try to turn it off. And the only way they can escape it is to shut it off completely. But I tell you tonight that God has a touch for you. That God has a hand that He wants to reach down and take the broken pieces, whether they're because of your own actions or the things that you've experienced in life, and want to restore something in you. And it starts from this place where David found that he said, "Have mercy upon me, O God." He recognized his need before God. He realized that there wasn't any way for him to repair the things that he had done. He couldn't bring Uriah back to life again. He couldn't restore again the things that he dabbled in and that he messed with. He was in a place that only God's mercy could come down and forgive him and restore him again. Oh, many times we think we can fix our problems. Many times we think by our own strength we can bear upon our backs the sorrows that we carry. But David recognized, "Have mercy upon me, O God." Oh, it's only in this place that you'll find the relief in your heart. It's only in this place that you'll find the redemption and the relief from the pain that aches there in the nighttime and in the quiet times. David recognized where he was. And I think there was a part of David, and maybe it's a little bit further in here, he ached to feel the mercy of God again. He ached to feel the fellowship with God that he had experienced. He felt the separation. And do you know that's where the pain and the heartache comes from? It comes from where I find myself as far from where I know where God wants me. And I realize that what I'm feeling, only He can restore. Ah, David said, "Have mercy upon me according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies." Oh, I'm thankful tonight that God is a merciful God. He doesn't come with a rod and a spike ready to pound us into the ground for many of our own poor decisions and choices. And the times that we've been drawn away of our own desires and we find ourselves, His desire is just to extend His mercy and loving kindness. His desire is just to draw and to provide for us. Oh, He already knows the condition that we're in. No wonder Jesus said He didn't come to condemn the world. It was already condemned and in its place. You know, the heartache and the pain that you feel is already the punishment in itself. God doesn't desire to punish you further, but to take the load and to heal the place. Oh, and David called upon this, "Have mercy upon me, O God." In the second verse, he said, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." He recognized the separation that existed. Until you're honest with yourself and realize that you can find no relief. There isn't an answer out there that's going to restore your heart. There isn't anything that you can fill and fill your mind with and the responsibilities you can take on. You can have all the money in the world. You can look at all the sights you can see, but it's not going to change the gap and the separation that exists in your heart. You have to be honest with it tonight and realize that it's only something that God can touch. Ah, David said, cleanse me from my sin. He said, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Ah, do you feel like that tonight? I don't think David could get away from this. Ah, maybe many things went on. Maybe there was something he could go watch or something he could experience, but it was always there before his eyes. The separation and the things that were in his heart that kept him from having a close communication with God were always before him. It's no different for us tonight. Yeah, I can't run from it. I can't hide from it. I can't fill my days and my time, but it's always right there in front of your mind and in front of your heart. The happiness that you seek, the peace that you would endeavor to have in your life, it only comes by one way. He said, this sin is ever before me. And in the fourth verse, he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He recognized that God had every right to hold against him the choices that he had made. He realized that God in his indignation and his wrath could destroy him if he chose to. You realize that he threw himself upon the mercy of God because God had every right to bring down the hammer and say, David, it's enough. And it's the same for us tonight when we find ourselves in the places where we shouldn't be in our heart. When we find ourselves drawn away, yes, God has every right in His judgment and in His righteousness to come down on us. We're in the place of needing the mercy of God. I'm not entitled to it. It's not something that I'm just allowed to take because of who I am or what I've done in the past. I'm at His mercy tonight. David recognized, Lord, thou can judge me. You know my heart. You know this. And I'm here and I'm broken. We could write here broken under heart heal. It starts with a brokenness in my heart to recognize that, Lord, you can and you may. Oh, many times we hide behind, don't judge me because of this. My circumstances are this because of life. There is one that surely can judge and recognizes the issue of our heart and the motivations and the choices that we've made. And he has every right to judge us. David recognized this, and yet he threw himself at the mercy of God. The sixth verse said, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. And then in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Oh, the Lord wants us to be honest tonight. He wants us to recognize the place that we're in. He wants truth in the inward parts. When He comes, and as we sing the song that says Jesus is still passing by, He's wanting to shine His light and His love on that place in your heart. And He's wanting you to look upon it and recognize that it's there and not to take it home with you. Oh, don't go home without getting the touch from God that you need. Don't go back to the ways of life and all the responsibilities and the things that you've got to face. But recognize tonight, find the truth in your heart to realize that this is something that God can heal tonight. Oh, this is the business that He is in. This is what God is here for. This is the communion that He wants. Oh, sometimes we think about all the great things that we want to do. And oh, there were those in the old days that walked with Him that wanted to be great in His kingdom. Do you know what Jesus was looking for? He was looking for the brokenhearted. He was looking for those that were in captivity. He was looking for those that were bruised. This was His work. This was His effort. This was His desire. The purpose of this camp meeting even is that we find the place in our hearts that the truth can shine, that God can come down and heal the places that we cannot heal ourselves. Aren't you tired of it? Aren't you tired of carrying it tonight? Aren't you tired of the lack of peace in your heart? Aren't you tired of the tears that stain your bed pillow? Do you want to go home with it? Or do you want to find the heart healer tonight? The one who came as a physician that understands the depth of where you live. Oh, one place that talks about man looketh on the outward. We can make a really good demonstration often Oh, one place, what's it say about washing my face? Putting on a fresh set of clothes. I can do a lot of things to change my countenance. But the truth shines on our heart tonight. God wants to take this burden from us. He wants to take this and to provide the wisdom. In the seventh verse, he says, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Eighth verse says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness." Oh, don't you ache for that tonight? You know, there's nothing like the sound of communion with God when you've been separated from it. Oh, when you've heard the sweet tones of His voice. When you've driven down the road and He came down and He filled your car with His presence and all the blessings showered over you and you were felt as if you were sitting in the very heavenly places. Do you know you can't ever get away from that then? Oh, I think David's heart yearned for that communion with God again. He had heard the sweet voice of the Savior speaking so clearly to him and knowing there was nothing that was separating him from God. Oh, he ached and he craved it. He desired it greatly that he would be able to hear the joy and the gladness in his heart again. Not because he deserved it, not because he had earned it, but because God was merciful and loved him. It was his child. It was his one. It was his that he had created. Oh, sometimes we think that there's those that are more privileged. We think that there are more those that deserve it more than us. That maybe I deserve to live in this way. That maybe the place that I find myself in is just desserts for where I've been or the things that I've done. Or the things that I've experienced in life. Oh, the enemy would love to put you in that box. Tell you that no, you can't ever hear the joy of the Lord again because of who you are. Because of what you did. Or because of what you felt in your heart or what you experienced. Oh, but you feel the craving, as David did, to experience the presence and closeness of God, the joy and the peace in his heart. The ninth verse said, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities." In the tenth verse, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Oh, I thank God tonight that we serve not just a heart patcher-upper. Sometimes you'll see something where somebody will put a heart with a Band-Aid on it. My Jesus has brand new hearts. Ones that are fresh and clean and tender and ready for Him to commune with. He's ready to take out the old stony one, the one that's broken. Oh, David didn't want something that was patched up. He didn't want something that was just cobbled together with duct tape and staples. But he was looking for a new heart. Something that only God can touch. Do you believe that tonight? That He can take your burden of sorrow? That He can take your burden of pain and take it on His shoulder, as we heard tonight, and carry that for you? You don't have to take it home with you. Sometimes I think it's nice to take souvenirs from places. Well, you can take a new heart as a souvenir from Monarch this year. To experience an experience that is fresh and clean. One that is restored and renewed. One that can stay restored and renewed. He said, "Renew a right spirit within me." The 11th verse, he said, "Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Oh, and I think about the Garden of Eden. And when they found themselves separated from God, he threw them out of the garden. And he put the angels in front of it so they couldn't go there any longer. But praise God, there was one that came. And instead of throwing us out of the garden tonight, he wants to take you and restore in you the pure heart. You can take the fruit back out again. Oh, what Adam and Eve would have given after that moment. What they would have given to be able to relive that moment. And tonight, it's as if God is saying you can relive that moment. You can relive that experience. He's saying the garden is still open. My communion with you is still open. I can restore again the relationship that we had. The angels don't have to hold you out. The enemy can't hold you out. It's His to do with as He wishes. It's His to extend to you and I. Oh, it's not in His nature to cut us off and destroy us. He said He has good thoughts towards us to bring us to an expected end. He's long-suffering towards us. His mercy endureth forever. Oh, we thank the Lord for the intercessor, the one who was tempted in all points as we were, Why? So that He could have compassion on us. When we find ourselves in the places where all we can say is, Lord, have mercy on me, because I find myself in a place I don't want to be any longer, and no one may even know about it, but Lord, You know where my heart is, and You know what I'm experiencing. There is one that stands between us. There is one that is able to make intercession for you tonight. Oh, you come to an altar. It's not just for your own strength and in your own might, but you lean on Jesus tonight and ask Him to intercede on your behalf. Oh, there's no wonder the Scripture says sometimes I can't speak the words, the things that I feel inside, but there's groanings and there's one that can interpret. There's one that's able to read and understand that. And take it to the Father's ear and say, this is one of mine, and He's broken and He's contrite. Oh, He will not avert His face tonight. Oh, the pool is stirred tonight. It is a night of healing for your heart. I feel it in my spirit that God desires to renew in you a new heart and a new experience. Oh, David said, cast me not away from Thy presence. Lord, the last thing I want is to be totally separated from You. The last thing I want to do is live in this condition for the rest of my life. I recognize the need that I have. And the worst thing that could happen, oh God, is that You could cast me away as one that's not needed any longer. Condemned and useless. How many times does the enemy bring those thoughts to your mind? Oh, you're useless. You're condemned to be in the state that you're in. David's prayer was, Lord, cast me not away. Lord, have mercy on me in the place that I'm in. He said, restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation, and uphold me with Thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors Thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto Thee. The Lord wants to put a testimony in your mouth tonight. He wants to restore something in you that you can take home again. Do you know how many broken people are around us these days? Everybody's broken. There are so many homes, there are so many places. And many times the heartaches and the things that we feel are not of our own doing. I know in this place that David found himself in a place where he made some very poor decisions. But many times we're affected by the decisions of others. But the Lord still wants to take the brokenness that's in your heart and put a testimony in your mouth. David recognized he wanted to have something for what he had experienced and what he had been through. He desired to be able to have an impact on those that were around him. You can't minister to a broken heart if your heart's broken too. But when God has come in and restored the joy of gladness in your heart, when He's upholding you by His free spirit, and you recognize the place where you came from, and you recognize the newness of heart that He has put in your life and in your being, you couldn't keep your mouth shut then. And when you face the heartache, and when you see the pain in the eyes that maybe they don't want to talk about, oh, the words begin to come from something within. It's not a recited thought process. It's not something I thought of that I might be able to say, but it springs up from what God has done in your heart. It springs up from a testimony and an experience of, I've been where You are, and God met me where I was. And He took out what was broken, and He made a new vessel. He restored something in me. You know what makes you a believer in healing more than anything? When God comes in and heals you. You can't sell the product if you've never tried it. It's hard for us to extend the joy of salvation if I've never felt the separation from it and then been restored to it again. David said he'd be able to teach the transgressors their way. He said, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of Thy righteousness. O Lord, open Thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth Thy praise. Aren't you ready to praise the Lord? Aren't you tired of carrying the burden? Aren't you tired of living under the oppression of the enemy and the brokenness that he brings over and over again? And I recognize that circumstances don't change overnight. I recognize that the burdens that we carry and the things that God has allowed in our life and maybe the works that the enemy has worked, that maybe we still have to face some of those things from day to day. But it doesn't have to break us tonight. It doesn't have to keep us in a place of oppression where our lips are sealed. I recognize what David was saying here. He couldn't sing with all of his heart. He couldn't praise God with all of his heart. Because it wasn't complete. It wasn't healed. It was broken. It couldn't come from the depths of where he was. Lord, unseal my lips. It's as if they were stapled shut because of what was in his heart. You ever been in that place where you felt as if, oh, maybe you sing. And sometimes there's a song that talks about singing till all the clouds removed, and there is a power in that. But when there is something in your heart that is broken, that is keeping you from a place of close communion with God, the praise doesn't come from the depths. Oh, David, he said, Lord, open my lips. Restore in me. Deliver me. He says, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. You know, in our humanity, we think sometimes that we can beat ourselves, or like the monks, we can cause ourselves to have afflictions upon our body to show our dedication, to show our desire. Don't you think David would have sacrificed all that he had? Would have taken all the cash, everything that he had power over, and would have slayed it on the altar if that would have done it? Our relationship with God is not about the things that I can just control with all of my hands. God's not interested in just in obedience is important, I understand. But it comes down to where your heart is and whether you've put it in His control and given everything to Him, and the things that would break you and separate you, that you've put them under His control and in His hands. Oh, David, I don't think he cared about the kingdom any longer. I don't think he cared about the cattle that were on the hills. He'd have gladly sacrificed and burned up everything that God would have asked for. But God's not interested in the things in your life tonight. He's interested in where your heart is. He's interested in where you're living. He's interested in where the fellowship is and where the closeness is tonight. It's all He'll accept. I think of different ones in those places in the New Testament as they came before Him. What did they bring that He honored? It's when they brought everything that was within their being. Do you remember the widow threw her two mites in, and He says, she's given more than all of these. Why? Because she gave what was in her heart. It wasn't about the amount. It wasn't about all the knowledge and all the wisdom that I can gain. Oh, I've been coming to Monarch all my life, I guess. Mom and Dad got saved when I was 2. So I've been in the church for 30-some years now. Get a lot of head knowledge. You can hear a lot of messages. I don't even know how many there's been. Thousands and thousands, I'm sure. But when it comes down to it, God wants to know where my heart is. He wants to know where the connection is and whether I've allowed my affections and the things that would separate me. David's only sacrifice that he could bring was his heart. It's what God would accept, and it's what He would heal and correct. In this place here, he said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, that will not despise. If I stay hard-headed, if I'm not willing to turn loose of the things that I've set my affections on, then God's hands are tied. If I maintain in my heart the things that have drawn me from Him, and I hold on to those things, and I'm not broken yet. I haven't got to the place where I'm so depressed, so desperate, maybe is the right word, so broken that I don't care any longer. As long as I'm holding on to the things that have separated me from God, the things that have broken my heart and made a misconnection with Him, then He can't restore in me a new heart. It's not until I've brought it to Him in its entirety and said, Lord, it's all Yours. I'll follow You whatever You ask. Whatever my affections are, whatever the things that have drawn me from You, whatever it is that has separated me from You, Lord, now I give it to You. Whatever fears and things that have kept me from following You and listening to Your voice till finally I've become broken and separated, Lord, I put them in Your hands. Do you remember the prodigal son was in the place that he was? He tried for as long as he could. He tried. He made every effort. Every effort. But I believe he remembered the communion that he had in Father's house. He remembered the nights sitting around the table. He remembered the sounds and the sights and the smells. He remembered the voices and the singing. I don't know how everything was in that home, but based on what I've read about that story, it's just like living in God's house. And he tried for as long as he could to hold on to his ideas, the things that drew him. When he was in the home and he was there under the blessing of his father, his heart began to be drawn after something, and oh, he held on for as long as he could. Till finally in the pig pen, so he had all he could take. Even the pigs eat better than I do. What happened to the affections? What happened to the dreams? What happened to the things that I wouldn't submit to so long ago? His heart ached and ached to feel the Father's love again. And when he started back down that road and he looked up the hill and he saw the Father standing there, it's a lot like tonight. And I can promise you that if you'll take a step towards him, you're going to see him running to you. With his arms open and the desire to restore in you your place in his kingdom and in his home. I don't think he changed anything. I have children. I think about if they left, I wouldn't want to change anything, especially if I thought they were coming home. Might change my mind later, but they're still young. But when they left and they went back there, all of his things were still there. I don't know if he had his own room. I don't know. I'm thinking outside the box. But he wanted to restore that place to him again. Kill the fatted calf. I have something new to give you. I want to restore this relationship. You know, in our humanity, we often think that it's about building the walls around us that are going to protect us. The Lord revealed this to me recently. You can build all the walls you want to protect your heart. You can build all the separations from people or ideas. You can make them as high as you want. You can build as many layers as you want. But you're always looking outward as what's coming. You know where the real weakness is? It's inside your heart. And you can't build any walls inside your heart. Your affections, your desires, your emotions, they come from within. And you can keep all the people out. You can keep yourself from any type of vulnerability. But your heart's still as vulnerable as can be. It comes from what's within. But we serve tonight one who deals with what's within. God doesn't start with a wrecking ball tearing down walls. He doesn't have to get something to bull through the middle to try to get to where you're at. He goes right to the center of the issue. Right where you're living. Right where you feel the disconnect and you know is the source of sorrow. Right to the place where you know is a separation between you and God. Right to the place. It's there in your mind. You can hear it. The Spirit is very clear in a still small voice. Oh, you can still have all the walls up. But the voice is there. Calm and steady. This is it. This is the place. And I want to renew in you a new heart and a new spirit. You know, we don't have to live with walls. God called us to a place to live without walls. The Sermon on the Mount, when he taught us to walk the extra mile, when he taught us to give our cloak, when he taught us to turn the other cheek, it meant to be vulnerable. It meant to lay our heart out and to love those that didn't love us back. That's one of the hardest things to do in the world because it'll break your heart. When you feel spurned or when you give your love to someone and they don't accept it, it'll kill you inside. But you know that's what we're called to? Because there is one who is able to maintain the passion and the fervency in your heart. It's not about keeping people out. It's not about not entering in to have an interaction with those that are around us. It's not about protecting even my emotions and the things that would draw me away. It's about keeping those things centered on the one who knows me and loves me. You know tonight what's going to keep you saved when you get home? Those of you that have sought help and found a close place with God, walls and protection are good, but it's going to be your passion and your love for God in your heart, where you keep your affection set. Your heart can be right out there in the open where people can trample all over it. But if your passion and your love for God is maintained, it's not going to break. It's going to withstand. And it's going to have something to offer and something to give to those that have been destroyed by life. I remember a message that I think it was Brother Ed brought a couple years ago about the dogs that were without. The pain and the heartache that's outside a father's house. It's why people build the separations and the distinctions and try to keep people at arm's length. God is able to renew a new heart that's not only healed and renewed, but one that's able to withstand. One that's able to extend His love and His mercy and His compassion. We can be vulnerable. Thought of the scripture in Matthew where He says, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, I will give you rest." How sweet is that rest? How sweet is that peace? Aren't you tired of carrying the burden tonight? Aren't you tired of the heartache of it? Aren't you tired of trying to solve everything on your own? Aren't you tired of trying to figure everything out in your own logic, in your own strength? He said, "Come unto me. Cast your burden upon me." He desires to carry it for us. Oh, a loving God, a loving Savior, one that desires to carry your teardrops, one that desires to carry the sorrows of your heart. And yes, when the times come and you're overwhelmed by the emotions and the feelings of the situation that you're in, He says, "Come back again and cast your burden upon me. I'll give you the rest in your heart and the peace in your soul." Sometimes we're allowed to face weaknesses that extend. Why? That our strength might be made perfect in weakness. That we might find the compassion and the mercy of God, not just today, but on a daily basis. I don't have to break underneath it. I might bend. What does the scripture say? I'm pressed down. I'm pressed in. But I'm not perplexed. I'm not in despair. How can that be? How can He keep my heart from breaking and restored? Because I can cast on Him every care, every sorrow, and every burden. I want to read to account to you here in closing. John, and in the 20th chapter. I love this little passage because it speaks to the compassion of Christ. And what He had just done on Mary's behalf. In the 20th chapter and in the 11th verse, it says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels while sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto him, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Do you feel like the circumstances of life have taken Him away? Do you feel like the decisions that you made, maybe all you can see is the empty tomb? And where He thought He was before, you can't find it any longer. Mary's heart was breaking. She wanted to see Him again, wanted to attend to Him, and it was as if He was gone. Says, "And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, but she knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto him, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" That's my message to you tonight. Why weepest thou? Whom do you seek? Jesus opened her eyes, didn't He? She, supposing Him to be the gardener, saith unto Him, "Sir, if thou had borne Him hence, tell me where thou hast laid Him, and I will take Him away." And Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." Put your name in there tonight. I'm right here. What did she respond? "Master." Heart healer. Don't you know her heart just mended itself together right there? Don't you know all the fears and all the things that the enemy had brought just washed right away? She looked in His eyes and she saw the compassion of the Son of God. It wasn't her son any longer. She said, "Master, Rabboni, the one that I need, the one that is able to sustain me and care for me, the one that knows where I live and knows all about me. I think when he looked at her and he said, Mary, he looked into her heart and she felt the compassion and love of the very Son of God. And all tonight, as you feel the burden of what you're carrying, look upon the Savior and hear him call your name and call him Master. And I promise you tonight, he'll roll your burden away. He'll take your heartache. He'll take that place of brokenness. And he'll restore in you a new heart and a new spirit. Pray for me.